When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, oh my fuck. God!
All right, I'm liking the start of this.
Some pump up music.
Are we going on?
This is dedicated to you guys, man.
Hell yeah!
Oh my goodness! When you hear the glass break, dude, like I never heard a fucking arena just go off.
Yeah,
it's crazy, man.
You seen WWF, WWE Live?
I think I was 10. I was like probably 9 or something, and my dad took me. It wasn't like Raw, it was like one of like the off shows.
Yeah, yeah.
And damn, when you hear the glass break and Stone Cold Steve Austin walks out, I still haven't heard a crowd that loud in my fucking life, dude.
That hard ass like walk that he had.
In the walk.
Yeah.
My first memory of like the wrestling thing back growing up, like in elementary school and stuff, was just him like just banging beers. I'm like, what is this?
I was like,
I'm gonna check this out. It might be cool. That's pretty much like my intro to like wrestling and stuff. But I never got really big into it. But like,
yeah,
the Stone Cold thing, I was like, just like, he's like crashing like a Coors Light truck.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
You're like, I want to do that, and I want to play guitar.
Yeah. he definitely had to have influenced a lot of rebels in these current generations, like just
totally
being against, you know, the system, telling your boss to F off and like just doing what you want. That's like the Stone Cold attitude. So
it
like,
is.
It's kind of a rock star attitude in a sense.
It is.
He's got the cut off jeans. It's got like the whole
not giving a shit how he dresses, you know. Just, No care, just being himself.
But can we pull off the cutoff jeans now?
I got a pair. I could walk.
Okay.
I like dares. You want me to walk on stage with some cutoff jeans today?
Let's do it. Hey, I'm in.
I wear shorts. I'll go get some scissors and cut off my jeans.
Okay, come on.
Cut off khakis?
Yeah.
Oh, let's go.
Man, I don't know about that.
Dude, we got Oceano in the fucking house, dude. OGs.
Yeah.
Adam, Scott, I know you guys for quite a while, man.
Yeah.
And Adam, what you helped me learn about this, about myself, is that, like when I was a kid, like wrestling music actually was probably like the precursor of liking heavy music.
Yeah.
It didn't dawn on me until like today.
I'd had the same realization of someone was talking to me, I think, and they were like, I think it was a show I was doing, like a podcast thing, and they're like, did you maybe get into music because of your wrestling thing? And I was like,
interesting.
I think that's the hard
CD,
music.
That CD that you were telling me about back in the day.
Attitude Volume 3.
That's all like rock and metal songs.
Yeah, the Attitude Volume 3 and 4.
That's what you were telling about that recently.
It was kind
of crazy.
Dude, we're just talking about the Stone Cold Steve Austin song. Yeah. I mean, that, dude, standard E fucking tug riff, dude.
Yeah.
There's something about that riff. It really kind of opened up your mind to like, okay, like I like this. And then seeing his attitude. Yeah, it just kind of influenced how we went about our life. Weird. I never really thought about that till today.
Did you hear? You've heard the Disturbed one, the Disturbed remix that he used to come out with.
Yeah,
that one was sick. Undertaker had a pretty hard. Well, he had Limp Bizkit, so that's.
Did he?
He had the Rolling, right? That was Limp Bizkit.
Oh, he did for like a hot second.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh,
I didn't even. They played the actual show
live. He would come out. They did the remix and they had him come out with those remix harder versions because they did that. It was like a WWF. More harder. It was WWF Aggression. I think that was the name
Aggression.
Of the CD.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was like that's all so harder crazy. Versions of stuff.
Jay, type in WW. Would I get sued if I say WWF? WWE. Dude, it's just like ingrained in my head. It's tough.
WWE. Or the WCW too, right? The other one? That's WCW? That's another one, right? Yeah. That's a whole other thing, right?
Another fed.
Yeah, if you go on Spotify, they changed like all those covers. Like so like the volume 3 Attitude Era, it doesn't say F. It says like it's E.
Because of the Wildlife Fund, World Wildlife Fund, sued them and won, surprisingly.
They won, dude.
Yeah, they got it.
They won.
Yeah.
It's like when you sue and win, holy shit, it happened. Yeah. And it's, dude, Jay, if you can, pull up, type in WWF Volume 3 credits. It's one guy.
That did all like the writing and everything?
It's Jim.
It's Jim something.
Jim Johnson. Boom.
Yeah.
It's one guy, dude.
No ICP shit. In there for something. What is that? Exception of one song performed by ICP?
What song is that?
Oh, it's the one for the Oddities.
The Oddities had an ICP song.
Yeah.
That's sick, dude.
They saved the best for last.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, dude.
Oh, they did, yeah.
Dude, Val Venus would definitely get canceled today.
Yes, he would. Yeah, dude, he would. Yeah.
What was the intro? Hello, ladies.
Dude, they did say, wow.
Not going to fly today. And no, it's not going to work today.
It's sad. I mean, what WWE did better than WCW, have you ever listened back to the WCW theme songs?
They're kind of boring.
They suck.
Yeah.
they literally took Nirvana songs and made them backwards.
Whoa.
Okay, hey, Jay.
Yo, what?
Watch. YouTube, Diamond Dallas Page theme song.
I could see that.
And crank it for like 10 seconds. If you don't know that, it's going to blow your mind. And there's also other wrestlers that have the same thing. It's like a Nirvana song backwards.
No way.
It's so crazy. Is it?
DDP
to shout out. No, WCW.
Oh my God.
It's not WWE, dude. It's fucking WCW. You got to hear this.
Yeah.
And I forgot. So he does It Smells Like Teen Spirit. Is this it right
backwards,
here?
Backwards, you said? Oh no. Oh no. Stop it.
Now that I think of it, he did come out for this, right?
He goes, not did it. He goes, did it.
Right.
Oh, come on.
Hey, Jay, play from the intro. You, when it comes in, you're like, oh, no way, dude.
No, it's me. It's DDP.
Oh, come on. Are you trying to ruin my day? I love Nirvana.
So it's backwards.
Oh, man.
It's backwards, dude.
It's clear as day, though. It's obvious.
Clear. It's so clear.
Damn.
I see a Linkin Park Hybrid Theory in there. I don't know. I don't want to even.
I forgot the wrestler that did. They
ripped off Hybrid Theory? Please don't tell me they did Hybrid Theory.
Smells like a lawsuit.
Yeah, dude. How can that be illegal?
Because they changed all the riffs around, so they're not gonna get sued for like copyright infringement, right?
Is there like a certain percentage that you're allowed to change?
It's the Ice Ice Baby song. You know what I'm saying? Like he did the same thing, but he maybe changed the one note, so like he couldn't get sued or whatever.
Was he in the clear though? He was, right?
Someone came up to his like hotel room and threatened his life, I think. But
really?
Yeah, there's a story behind that.
Oh shit! I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think like. Someone came up there, like threatened him.
It's like
he's like, I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, it's so fucking bizarre. Yeah, and someone else does "Come as You Are," but backwards.
Whoa!
So it's so weird, dude. Well, dude, congrats on 15 years of deaths.
Thanks.
Pretty fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah, it's not. I think it's like, I don't know, man. I've just been living in the moment, so
yeah.
It came over.
He can't stand the song.
No, that's not
can't,
true.
I'm done to be like he wants to be over, like, done with it. But I get it.
Nah,
sure.
You know, I've been playing the songs for so long. But
I'm stoked on new material. That's just what it is. You
the
know,
hardest, like, yeah. The hardest part about this like little 15 year thing was like I contacted Sturges to try to get the stems from him,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, dude, I don't know where those are. I'm like. okay, well, it looks like I'll have to learn all these songs just from the MP3, like, album. So that was, like, the hardest part was, like, relearning, like, I mean, learning some of the new stuff we haven't ever played. And, like, obviously District, we play that a lot. But, like, just learn it. We had to learn it from ear. And then, like, I had to, like, you know, go on the Cubase and put the set together that way. So that was, like, the hardest part. It took, like, a month and a half. But that was the hardest part about it.
He smashed it because it's, like, what we were talking about is, like, when we were playing these songs back in the day, the tech differences are night and day.
Yeah, so Turchin didn't play to a click or anything. So I had to like go in there and like make the click like manually. So there is like in like some songs like there's probably 20 different tempos I had to like put to the song like to the MP3 and then I made the set from the MP3.
Shit.
It's a lot more filled out cuz we did a lot of like extra like background, you know, instrumentation and stuff. So we actually we've never played it like that ever until now. So people seeing these shows, that's what's really cool about it to me. It's like this is like the HD version of Depths that no one in the past ever heard. It's like so this is probably the closest you'll ever hear to album ever. So it's pretty tight.
That's sick.
You guys play to a click or you guys are still rocking like tube amps, right?
And all we're that lazy,
shit.
No?
Dude, that's so
I don't got time for that shit.
Yeah,
dude.
But listen. When we toured though, it doesn't matter, but like you guys still sound incredible. That's the thing. Like you have your thing and that's
Thank you, Scott. You shouldn't
change it if it doesn't like
right.
You know what I mean?
Don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Especially now Ernie's like he's a human clock.
Ernie, yeah.
He's a human Metrodome, you don't got to. I'm gonna worry about him. It's just Alex was all over the place. Yeah, that was it's hard. It's already hard to keep a drummer like.
That I think
it's
that
already
was
hard
the,
enough. But
I think that was the last tour we were on was with him in the band. I think
might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next time I saw you wasn't until Nam.
Oh yeah.
I ran
yeah.
into you and yeah. I wanted to ask you about that. The guitar behind you. Because you said I've been trying to get Fender to get to make me a seven string forever.
I told you that?
Yeah, last time I ran into you. You're like, he was like, yeah, I've been trying to fucking get Fender for years to fucking do the first seven string for me. Did they finally do it? Right?
Yeah, I had
it. There it is. That's fucking awesome.
I mean, that was a while. I mean, what? When was the last
I'm
time
sure
I was,
it's been a long time.
It's
man.
Been almost
17.
2 years.
I think like.
Oh, that made me sense.
Yeah, because that's like right before the Revelation came out.
Mm-hmm. Album. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're actually making note number two as we speak.
Sick. For you?
Yeah.
That's great.
It's so weird, dude. Like, the fucking... I'll make the subject
persistence
short.
Is great.
Dude, I don't know what it is. Is it persistence? Is it following, like, a vision? Because I don't know what I was doing.
They weren't into that for a while.
No.
They were so against it.
They were, like...
Well, they have... Dude, they've been... They're, like, one of the iconic brands, you know? Like, they don't... They're not. They probably weren't just comfortable with doing anything. They wanted to do their homework and make sure it was fucking perfect for whoever you or
totally
for the player. You know, they're not just gonna, you know, come out with something shitty. It's Fender.
Yeah, it's Fender. It has to be a certain you know way. And that there is like I got no's, maybes, and for some reason and like just never stopped. I never stopped following that like vision.
Yeah,
I see. I don't know, it could be. Could take a year, could take 5, 10, I don't know.
Just and then did they work with you on certain things or they were just, whole, it was like, it was your idea with like the seven, they're like, we're just going to take it from here. They worked with you on like,
thing,
a lot
yeah,
of
the
stuff?
Yeah, shout out to like, Carlos Lopez.
Dimensions like, and stuff, for like the neck and all that. That's great.
Oh yeah, every little spec was
that's
very
fucking
well,
awesome.
Very well thought out. Yeah, I kind of, I always try to go back to like that part of myself where there's just some things you do, like the self-doubt doesn't even creep in.
Yeah.
That's a good
it's
thing.
It's just weird. Like, there's only like probably a few things in my life that, like, this doesn't even budge. I'm like, how did I do that? You know, Suicide Silence, or bands, or like the seventh string. Like, there's just certain things that just nothing ever affected that. And everything else, it's all fucked. It's everything else is self doubt. Like, oh, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? But, Adam, I wanted to ask you, like, how do you feel about Oceano now because I mean you essentially follows your vision, correct?
Yeah. I think that this year especially because of the 15 year, it was something like I think I was running from Because I said I would never do it. Like, yeah. More because I wanted, I'm always like,
you've always
go,
told
forward,
me that
forward,
you,
forward,
you never
forward,
wanted
forward.
To do mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I think this helped me actually be a little bit more in the present in the sense where it's like, look at everything that you accomplished. Like you said, look at all the people that told you no, all the things, the obstacles and stuff. So it's kind of cool. Sitting here right now is probably one of the biggest moments where it's just like, okay, you know, to have that moment where, you know, dude, it's like crazy. Suicide Silence is like a template for what got me gurgling in my dorm room, you know, to even consider wanting to be a vocalist, you know, so.
Crazy.
These are the moments where now looking back, it's like, okay, you know, it was worth it. You know, you have mm-hmm. your ups, you have your downs, your struggles, and, you know, there's a lot of things that have changed. But now in this 15-year run that we're doing and everything that's been happening this year especially, it's like, okay, we did some shit. You know, like we did some shit. And being persistent and, like you said, just not listening to the people telling you you can't do it or the people that don't believe in you or the people that just can't see your vision, it's full circle, like, probably like right today where I'm just like,
wow.
All right. Cool.
That's fucking
Cali, dude. You know, like I was telling him yesterday.
Man. Yes, you're in California.
We filmed our District of Music video like around LA.
Mm.
That was my first time in California ever. Whoa. And it's full circle today.
Damn.
Chain sold out today.
Sold out, man.
Yeah, it's tight.
And you guys are headlining.
Yeah, that too.
That credit is 100% deserved.
Thank you.
Oceano are a foundation staple in the genre now.
Thanks.
You guys are OGs. It's cool.
Like I said, I'm not.
I think we
maybe
don't feel
not me,
old,
but
I'll take. We're OGs, cool, but not, we don't. We're still spry, you know.
Yeah.
Still got that young band energy.
Yeah, I kind of feel I know how it is. Like people tell you like, but you know, I just wanted to tell you guys, you know, you guys are a staple in this shit, and
thank you.
I respect the fuck out of both you guys.
Honored.
It's cool, man. And you started a band in 2006.
Yeah.
So what? That's is that 17 years?
16, 17. Yeah, 17 I got years? In the year like I think like the year to year and a half after the band started.
Okay.
So that's when I came in, and that's when it really started to
just fuck shit up.
Yeah, we started taking it really seriously, you know. I don't know what the, you know, they were doing. I think, it, you know, the band kind of started, I feel, as like a high school thing. I never wanted to be in a band, so I don't know what it was like to, like, start a band, you know, from scratch, per se, when you're in high school and stuff. But I had friends that were in bands in high school, so I can see that, you know, it's like, it starts off rocky. No one knows what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So like,
dude, you look so young there.
Yeah.
You look so young.
It's wild.
So this was L.A.?
Yeah, we filmed it. I don't remember where, but we filmed it in some studio
in L.A.
Oh, my
gosh, Adam, you're a child, dude. Holy shit.
So thick,
how old were you?
Thick boy child.
How old were you there?
I don't even think I was old enough to drink. If not, I was like 20.
20 years old?
20-ish. 21-ish. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, I did drink that night. I went out and hung out with the...
Of course.
Homie Jerry John.
The crazy part is that I was in a local band, and when that album came out, I'm like, dude, this fucking shit's so nasty. And I was
like... That's good to hear, because when I first heard Oceano, like, I was like, this shit sucks. Like, and so, you know, and I think that's the cool thing about the band is, you know... I
was
had
more
opinion,
honestly,
and we
honestly
all contributed to it.
That, and I was really impressed with the recording. I've always like
Joey.
Incredible. Like for me, a lot of when I listen to music, I like, it's not just the material. I'm big on the mix and master and how it's recorded and shit. And if it doesn't sound good to me, even if it's like good material, I probably won't listen to it. Honestly, that's just how I am.
Totally.
Yeah. Really weird.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of
guy
you gotta
fight.
Get.
If it's incredible, though, I'll fight through it. And it's like, I get it, whatever.
If
but.
It's like a black metal band you really like, okay, I'll fucking do it.
Yeah.
That's the thing about, like, I think the band over the years in general is, you know, there's been this thing with the band where we've had, you know, for a moment these changes and shit like that. But as, like, for at a time, it's like, unfortunately, I have to take the lead now. I accept that, you know. What I was looking for was to find guys like Scott, you know, that like where I'm weak, the other guy is strong, especially if he's writing the music. So like he has a better ear for like being meticulous about the mix and the live sound and boom, boom, boom. And I learned through him how to get better at that, you know. So like it took a while for us to finally refine, you know, the perfect.
It took a while, you know, actually.
It took the perfect combination of people to like get it to this point. Mm-hmm. Where now, you know, what have you been like 10 years?
Yeah.
Something like that. And that's why I'm so stoked for the future more than the past. But it's cool to look on the past, because without it, we wouldn't be.
I know
here.
It's everyone is like with. We hear a lot of comments and stuff about not coming out with material like a lot. Like mm-hmm. so, like it's been 7 years. I understand that, guys. Okay,
lucky number seven.
Besides a single, seven years for a record. Yeah.
I understand that. Like people are like, I don't get how bands come out with an album every year, 2 years. I because I'm so just,
it sucks,
dude.
It sucks.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because like I do a lot of the stuff, you know, like myself, and I don't have like multiple writers that help me in the band, but like mm-hmm. just the fact that like if. When the album comes out, I can't mess with it anymore. Sure. You know what I mean? It's like, you're done.
Use EMG pickups because they help you get the heaviest tone possible. Head over to emgpickups.com and use my promo code HEAVY at checkout and get 15% off. And then once you write the heaviest song of all time, head over to distrokid.com/VIP/Garza and save 30% off your membership to get all your songs on all streaming platforms. And now to the heaviest podcast of all time.
You can't go revise it now. So I think that's why it takes me a long time to write music, because mm-hmm. I want to make sure it's up to my standards and it's fucking perfect before I like send it into the label. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah,
that's how I feel. And that's probably why it takes me so long. I mean, I've probably scratched 40 something ideas. Like
really?
Yeah. That I'm like, he's like, this is awesome. I'm like, I'm like, let me work on it.
Yeah.
So I'll go to work. Listen to it, export, go back home, change a couple things, re-export it, go to work next day.
Of course.
And it's like just a vicious cycle of just fucking myself in the head, honestly. Mm-hmm. And he's always like, dude, it's fine, leave it alone. Like,
but that is
my weakness on writing, because I can't just mm-hmm. leave shit alone.
Yeah,
that's the shittiest part about the whole thing.
He got through that. He went through that process though on the new.
I'm getting better at it though. Mm.
Just he got through that process for the new stuff before he sent me the most revised versions of what's going to be our new album. Mm-hmm. So usually I also, it's like he'll do his thing nitpicking and then I have a whole nother nitpick. But when he sent me the new stuff, I heard some things, but it was more like, it's not necessary. You know, sometimes you just want to add your influence.
Yes.
You don't need to. And that's where I had to like sit with it. I was like, honestly, this shit's pretty fucking good. I'm just gonna shut
now
my
it's
mouth
even,
and just go.
Now it's even worse because he'll send me his patterns like just randomly, and now I'm like meshing the pattern, my patterns in with his patterns now, so it's even more complicated, which I like. You know, it gets the music better.
I think that's what gets it really good when you have the guitarists and you're bouncing when the guitarist vocalist connection is there. I've like some of my favorite bands, they all do that shit, and it's I think it's where it really
I think
perfect.
It works a lot better now. Like you just send me like it doesn't even have to be like set lyrics. You just sent me patterns sometimes, or just off the top of his head, just words and stuff and whatnot, and then,
that's the big,
and I'm like, oh, that's a cool pattern, maybe I'll change the riff just a little bit to his pattern a little bit
sometimes,
you know?
Yeah,
just mesh it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what we've been doing recently. That's kind of how this last album.
Yeah. We're not
the one that's coming out soon. It's
we're not rushing the product. We're being patient with the art. I think that's where we're at with the band.
Cool.
That's why it's taken a while for this last album.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, that it's just one guitar player that there is that is a lot of pressure.
The MIDI takes me forever. The drums take me fucking I mean, I started playing drums before guitar. So like I know I'm not like I can't like sit down and play the parts, but I can like see it in my head, you know, and that's like the drums is a lot. It takes a long time, and then usually if I have the riff, I'll write to the drums and I'll come up with a drum part right to the riff, or I'll have like a backtrack or something like that. But like the writing the MIDI out takes the longest.
Are you a perfectionist?
I would say yeah. That's why, like I said, that's why it takes so long for me to like
both are.
To be happy with a 2 minute idea. You know,
Adam, do you think that he's too perfectionist?
If he didn't take my advice, yes. But he's not. He takes my advice. So,
okay, good.
Yeah.
If I didn't listen to him, I'd probably never come out with music. Honestly. I'd never come out with music.
Yes. Every once in a while it's good when someone comes in and it's like, okay, you know, that's this is done. Sounds great. And okay, sometimes you got to just step back and like, okay, you know what? I value and trust your opinion.
Does that ever happen with you? With your guy? You and you guys?
Of course.
Yeah. It's like, fuck. You guys have a crazy writing process. You guys write in a room together though, still, right?
In a garage, yeah.
That's so badass. Sick.
Yeah.
That's so fucking hard.
Yeah, I definitely want to try that sometime.
I would love to do that. It's like,
yeah.
That is it unheard of to do that anymore? Because everyone is fucking, I don't know. It works for you guys. You guys write killer shit.
I mean, you guys built your, I can see it working because you already have your chemistry. It's like, obviously, like, Oceanos has been you guys for quite some time, so it will work.
Definitely.
You know?
That would be cool.
And it's just something about, you're just in the same room together. You don't have to be writing, like, full-on drummer and shit, but just about
fucking around.
Just being in the same room, like, you could talk shit back and forth, get kind of pissed.
That's right.
I love like that weird energy. Because sometimes, not all the time, sometimes it's like, okay, you're being an asshole or you're a dick, but sometimes the best shit will come out.
Fucking play
of
like that. No, like that.
Sometimes something cool will cut out of that, the fucking tension, dude. Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah.
I get you.
I remember one time we were writing Smoke, and then Mark just fucking walked outside. He didn't even say anything. I was like, I guess he doesn't like this song.
No shit.
Yeah, but it turned out to be a song we played live for many years.
That's awesome.
It was cool. Yeah, I mean,
you guys did the cleansing live on the recording, right?
Yeah,
as a band.
Yeah, as a band.
Dude, that's so cool.
Three, four takes, and that
was it.
Picked the best one. And then Mitch put his vocals
Was he in a separate room? Or obviously he had to be in a separate room, right? Whatever. The band played together.
Yeah, band. Like the music was in the same room.
That's crazy.
Like, bass is in the same room as the drums. Like, kind of like, it makes no sense, but for some reason, like, it worked.
It's got its own sound. Like, that album doesn't sound like any other album, in my opinion.
Yeah I wonder.
It's just the way you guys played it, the room, studio, how your engineer recorded it, you know, the mic setting, all that shit.
Yeah, he's a psycho.
Do you guys still work with him or no?
No, he did the first record.
That was it?
It's kind of one of the biggest regrets. I have a little list of regrets I have in my career. Not
working with him again?
Not going back and recording like one more record with him.
That's wild.
Would have been sick, but we were at a period in our career where like, Oh shit changed, man. I'm pretty sure, Adam, you guys can relate. Like, when it's all fun when you have like no fan base and you have your record, and then
you don't have an expectation, kind of like, you know what I mean? You're just kind of like, you know what, we're having fun. I don't have to fucking please anyone. No. We just have, writing shit for fun, and that's it. That's kind of how I felt about, don't get me wrong, I love the Contagion album, but I feel like that could have been recorded a little bit better. And I feel like if Sturges would have got his hands on that would have been...
Sturges should have, in my looking back, reflecting, then that's why we did the new one. We had a mix and master. I had this moment, this break between the shows and stuff, just reflect on the band, life, all this shit.
Good.
And, it's like, how do you, you always want to think about how you can do things better in the past and you do it in the present. That's how I look at it.
Of course.
So that was one of the things, was like, if I could change one thing about the band, what I've done is like, all right, first and second album are both tight. They have their own.
Yeah, Concert did a great job.
But we should have stuck with Sturges for every single album. It's almost unheard of, but we just were very fortunate. The first guy we went with was the guy for the recording, mix and master. And we just, always been experimental. Yeah. We've always been like, let's try new things.
You had it. And you ruined it. And
you ruined it. You blew it.
It still went okay. It still went fine, but I think that was the magic that we should have just held on to. That was the variable that could have stayed the whole time. Yeah. Nothing against everybody else, because like Zeus, being able to work with Zeus for Contagion for me.
Guys, you're going to go home today and just be like, fucking should have done.
I know, dude. Whenever it creeps in, I'm like, you fucking idiots.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it really came to head on Incisions, right? Mm-hmm. Where you weren't really stoked on that record, right?
Right, correct. It was also a big transition period for the band where we had like like it started as it started kind of sounding like what would be maybe like a Contagion continuation, and it turned into an experimental thing because we had different, we had like like 2.5 lineup changes during that writing and recording process. Yeah. So we had like dudes leaving, dudes coming in, some guys kind of like lingering for a second and then passing it on. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of actually different people that helped write that album. It was like over a year. We went from trying to do like actual drums to having to program shit. Like it was a realistically, it was a mess of an experience.
Shit show.
And you know, we were behind, you know, the quota time frame for like releasing an album too. So the label's just like, we need an album, we need an album. So it's like, ideally, we would have just chilled for a second, got it together, and then. But
goddamn
cool.
Labels.
People like it. It's cool because like I hear tons of fans of us that will talk to me online and stuff. That's one of my favorites where I got into the band during Incident. So it's like,
see, you know,
my perspective is different than the fans, and that's great because. If they like, once it's
here,
done,
like, here I go again with the recording. I think it's terrible.
Yeah.
I think the recording is so
bad.
Like,
I don't like listening to it. So it like, bothers
me. And then the material, I don't mind the material. I hear again, I just, if it's like, when I first heard the album, like, I'm like, duh, they fucked that up.
You missed it.
They
it was,
fucked
yeah,
that up.
It was like, yeah.
I like the material. They fucked it up.
It was like a bass hit, maybe a two, you know, get
it's a
two,
bass hit.
Yeah, a bass hit, but not a home run kind
like,
of
what
thing.
Are they, what are they, what's going on with this guitar tone? I really.
What do you use?
Me right now?
No, on that,
I have
I don't,
no idea.
Yeah,
what
I don't
they
know
did.
What they, I don't know what they were doing on that. I'm thinking they were probably pulling
something
like they were definitely sampling. I think they were sampling a couple. They were trying to like maybe sample some tones and stuff. And but I don't remember exactly.
Maybe they should have went with the Pod Farm.
That shit, dude. For me, I was on some.
That's
other
what they
shit.
Used on. That's what he used on Depths was Pod Farm.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I heard a rumor how Joey would use the Line 6 Pod Farms.
And he made who did a lot of, was it Carol? Like tracked a lot of it.
Who tracked? Actually,
or is it Andrew?
Andy tracked.
So one of them, either like one of them tracked a lot of the album, but he made Joey made them, he made them track four times and layer it four times.
Mm.
So they probably hated that.
It was a lot of redundancy, across the board, which is cool.
But it sounds sick though.
Yeah,
it's held up, which I've just realized that more recently too, like. That's probably why a lot of people like it a lot, and it's considered timeless to our fans. It's because it doesn't sound like it's that old, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's just cool.
Yeah,
because you can hear the age in certain albums if you listen.
You can.
For better or for worse.
Yeah, sure. I cranked that because it's still like the number one on Spotify. So you play it and you hear the blast beat, and now it's like, what's the word? It's classic now. So, oh shit!
So
that's
crazy.
They're OGs now, man. That's it. It's that
you'll
sound.
You're never gonna get away from the brrr, got dude. Never gonna get away from that. That's it. The band that'll always be the band's thing, which is fine.
You know what's worse? Not having that.
Yeah. True. Exactly.
Dude, have you ever been in a point where like you got jaded and it's like, oh, like all these things are just like, oh no, I've been through it. It's weird. And then you come back around. Something kind of has to happen in your life where like you kind of come back around, and then you have this newfound appreciation for music and some of your songs.
Yeah, District is that for me. It was like
you're probably sick of playing that.
I love it. No, everyone says that. I used to just the only reason I was sick of it was because once again I'm a forward guy. You know, so like I never wanted. Early in, especially, I just didn't. I knew that song was a hot one, you know, obviously, but I
and
just
the label
didn't
want that as a single.
They didn't originally. They
of course,
did. And we pushed
for it. Of course. Yeah.
Of course you don't fucking want that.
Just didn't want the band, you know, I didn't want the band off. To be a one-hit wonder. Like, you know, at that point, it's like, District's the one. It was like, all right, let's keep pushing forward. Let's not over-focus that this is the hit. Forward, forward, because that's still going to be a hit if it's a hit. So I never wanted to be stuck in that. District's their only song.
Sure.
You know, that was the thing I was most worried about. But now I like playing it. It's tight now because we don't even have to, we used to play at the end of the set all the time, you know, because we were new. So like that song we're new, it's the most energy. So we had to play it last because we'd at least get some good energy into the set, if nowhere else in the set. Now we don't have to. And it's cool because we actually play the newer stuff. And I've noticed, like, you know, stuff that he's been a part of, like Ascendance, Revelation, mass produced.
I really
one to one.
I fucked myself in that song. It's so hard to play.
You had one song to fucking play, dude.
It's so hard on the right, Garza, man. It's hard to play. Okay, hard for me to play.
Sure,
I gotta like warm up and shit.
Yes,
you warm up? Do you warm up before playing?
I suck. I had to warm up.
I gotta warm up and shit.
I have to, man. If I don't warm up.
Playing power chords over here, bro. I gotta warm up.
Okay, up. Power chords. I only strictly bar chord.
Yeah,
strictly, man. But it's cool to hear, Adam, that that you came back around.
Yeah, it's. I do enjoy that song. It's nice to like see the pop, because that's how you know where the OGs. Now it's like that's the OGs. If they know District, it's uh-huh. They're OGs. Like there's people that are like, yeah, but then you have the people that are like, yeah, that's an OG because they're connected to when it first came out.
Yeah, it's crazy, huh?
You see that with your fans too, probably a lot when you play. Oh,
totally,
stuff. Yeah.
Totally.
Oh yeah,
and like the you only get one shot.
Oh yeah, those YOLO, Unanswered. Those have a new life now.
Yeah,
they just kind of came back around. They're like, oh shit, like, you actually like playing it, and then you're thankful.
Yeah.
So, oh shit, first it was a time where I don't like playing this, and it kind of came back around. Oh shit, I like it. What happened to you, Adam? Where like you kind of came back around? Like, what was there a moment in your life that made you start to appreciate it?
Yeah, I think this one would be fun for like. The people who aren't bands that joke about this, but it is that literally. It's for me. It's I have these moments where I like dip my foot back into let's call it the matrix. You know, like the kind of like 9 to 5. Either whether it's just the side hustle when I'm not on tour or whatnot, and especially more recently, I just kind of had to sit back and realize I was trying to basically remove myself from the band life 100%, and. What I came to realize was that the problem with it was for me, what it wasn't working for me was I was sacrificing a lot of things that to get things that didn't serve me, you know, like with time with family, things like that. You know, there's a way to do touring and do band and stuff and still have time for family.
Yes.
Friends, your personal life, you know, and just peace for a second, taking a break.
True.
Dude, we were just going like the whole time. Like
when I first started with you, it was nonstop.
I gave up it everything was, to just do O'Shaughnessy. Like everything.
You've been there too, Garz. I mean, you guys had that probably that year, those years span where you're just like 8 months out of the year. You know what I'm saying? Like
it's everything.
Yeah. That's kind of I was in a local band. You know, before I wasn't in any other band. Like with my brother. You know, and then he liked my band, and then he came out on his 30th birthday. On one of her shows, I'm like, is that Adam Warren? Yeah. I'm like, and he's like, and my singer's like, that's Adam Warren. I'm like,
and this guy came
out. I'm like,
with
don't
his
fuck
band.
This, don't fuck the setup, dude.
He did it. He came out with his band, and this was in my old neighborhood too, where I grew up, like doing backyard wrestling and shit. Across the street, and he's in his basement, and he comes out with his band, and I'm paying attention, like, okay. Tracks, you know, they got a cool little intro. There's no breaks between the set, you know, like it's just moving.
Smooth. Yeah,
but
yeah.
They're nice, playing, nice. But they're playing. And I'm just like, they're slamming. You know, I was like, this is the heaviest shit I've ever heard in Chicago, ever. And I was like, we need members. That's the guy that I gotta get in this fucking band. Because I saw it. I was like, this guy knows what he's doing. I know he's in his room. Cool. He's writing music in his room on the computer. Like, we need to level it up, you know. Because you had like Born of Osiris that had set the bar, I think, for Chicago bands.
Oh,
how
wow.
You, like,
that's cool.
You know, like with how Cam's doing shit. Yeah. Like, Cam was doing all this stuff that we're doing with our band years before. And so, like, I saw that with Scott, and I was like, this is how we're going to level the band up, or at least get the momentum moving. So that's a kind of cool little thing.
After 2013, that's kind of, he asked me to fill in. And then
fill in? Was that strategic?
The trial.
Yeah, nice.
I didn't know, but, and I was like, dude, I'm going to fucking, I already had like a couple ideas I had written before. I was like, so that, after I got the phone call from him, I'm like, I went home, like I started writing like crazy. I'm like, I'm gonna fucking write some shit. I'm gonna show this motherfucker what I'm made of. And
damn,
I literally,
that's fucking
and I was like, awesome. I waited and like, you know, push it, like first day, like filling in on a tour. You know, I'm like, kind of waited a little bit, got to know him a little bit. And like I say, like, probably like at the end of that tour, that my first tour, I'm like, hey, Adam, I'm going to send you some music. Let me know what you think. Just listen to it. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
You played my ass. No, just kidding. You had that. I didn't know that part about like you had written some stuff.
Oh, I did it on purpose. Totally on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion,
I thought that the music that they had out wasn't as good as my shit, honestly.
Damn,
I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie.
Suck, dude.
I'm cool. I'm very because I can fucking
do some shit here. I mean, like that. If I have a good singer behind me, I feel like me and this guy could do some awesome shit. Honestly, that's what I was like manifesting in my mind. Like,
wow.
I feel like I can actually be in this band, even though I was just filling in for the first tour. I'm like, dude, this is my fucking foot in. I think in this like to be in a band maybe right now and be even professional. That's kind of, I literally manifest it in my head.
Huh.
It's like, I can do this. So I fucking kept writing.
So you went on that first tour, and did you really get that vision in your head?
Yeah, Wow. After that tour, I'm like, I was telling my dad, like, this is going to be it. I think just like, I got a good feeling about it. I don't want to go back to school. I was like, can I just write in the basement for another year? He's like, you're fine.
That's cool.
He's like, do what you want to do, man. It's cool. I got you. So my dad was a really big help with that. My family was super supportive.
Papa Smith.
Yeah. Super supportive. Cool.
He's come out to a ton of shows.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Hung out.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Family helped me out, definitely.
That's great, man. Yeah, do support from our family sometimes is, I mean.
They came through.
Everything,
you
dude.
Know, they always do. So.
Yeah, I've had a lot of support from my mom and dad. Yeah. Like a lot of support. If I didn't get their support, we probably wouldn't be a band anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Because you have like the lows, and they're kind of there to make sure you're all right. You know?
Yep. Absolutely.
Make sure you're alive at some. I mean, really, I mean shit at some point. Right? Yeah. It's crazy. Hey Scott, what was your round two? You fuck. What was?
Who are you signaling to?
Hey, do you want to grab me some?
Mix me one. Just fucking bring the bottle. Right. And
this guy's over here. Looks like he's got roadies. He's like, fill me up.
Can you give me a black tooth grin, huh?
It's only 1:30, man. What was your band called?
Delta. The band was called Delta, yeah.
Delta.
Yeah.
It's like a...
Is there anything out?
Oh, yeah, there's a whole bunch of shit.
You really? Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Delta.
It's a Delta official. Like, it's all over.
Like, the OG-est people like in that are also Oceano fans.
It's like, go to YouTube. Like, it's on YouTube. Delta band.
It's nasty.
Chicago, yeah.
So you saw it and you're like, okay, this is like the heaviest shit ever.
Yeah. He released something like after we got off a tour. Like, I think it was a couple years ago or something.
Okay.
But he had released a.
How long?
Yeah.
How long we got?
Well, we're supposed to load in 6 minutes.
We could always make an Uber back. That's what I assumed we were going to do. Sure. If that's cool, yeah.
That's the Voyage one.
I'll keep it quick.
That's the first album I ever wrote right there.
Holy shit, dude.
All right, we're going to go.
All right.
Cool.
All
right. See you, Adam. See you, Alex.
Yeah. It's cool. That's how I thought we were going to do it anyway, so.
Yeah.
We're straight.
Appreciate it. Delta, so this is the first shit that you wrote?
Yeah, that's the first album I ever wrote as a musician.
Delta Official Chicago. Yeah. So if you're listening or watching, that's their name on YouTube.
Yeah.
Who's that, Scott?
That's my buddy Holden,
okay.
A good old friend.
Nice. Okay, Delta Official on YouTube.
Is that him? Is that you doing a playthrough?
Hey, look how young I am! Holy shit!
Are you ripping here, dude?
Oh my god! Look at
the typewriter text.
What's going on?
Whoa.
Oh my god, bro!
With the fucking RG. Hey Jay, crank this for like 10 seconds.
That's not it.
You're playing.
That's not it. What the hell is that?
There's something else playing in the background.
That's Adam Warren singing.
there's an Incision song in the background that will stop riffing.
Yeah, what the fuck else is playing? The podcast ruined.
Here it is.
You know, Jamie would not fuck that up on Rogan. No. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay.
Here it is.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, shit.
Damn, Scott, really?
Yeah.
What is this from? What year?
I'm guessing 2011, I'm guessing.
11 years ago. 11 years ago, dude. Okay, Adam, I'm sorry to see what you saw.
Yeah.
Okay, this is like, there's something here.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm very fortunate that you believed in me too, honestly. So
a good, I've always believed, even from, I learned it from the local days because I would never even want to be in a band. Mm-hmm. It was just something that I was brought into when my local scene days. But I started to realize that with a good guitarist, the vocals can get pushed to be better and rise and be a better vocalist. It's like, it's a give and take kind of thing. So I knew that from the start. It's like, if I can find a guitarist who can challenge me and push me and like, and isn't afraid to like do things that they're not accustomed to doing, that's going to allow me more room to write, you know? So like you give me, you know, a fast, you know, I don't know, like fast, you know, really like whittly riff. I'm going to rise to that occasion. Maybe I'm only used to doing slams and gutturals for the last two albums, but you give me something, I'm going to try and body it. You know, I'm not just going to run away from it and go to what's comfortable. I'm going to try and reinvent my own approach. So that's what you did.
Sure. Garza, you would agree with me, right, on this one. We're not shredders.
Fuck no.
I go off a feel when I write and just I try to riff like, and that's like, that's my thing, you know. I've always just been like just a straight riffer, and like the solo, like the shreddy shit, like I'm not gonna lie, I probably should be practicing a lot of like the arpeggio shit, but that doesn't tickle my funny bone at all, really.
No.
You know what I mean? Like that's just not my writing style. I don't know. Maybe I'm being like just a lazy guitar player.
It's not your vibe.
I don't know.
No, it's not.
You know, I don't know. It's just, but I've seen like there's like so many guitar players out there that I feel, in my opinion, that like they spend their whole life learning that style, but they can't write a fucking song.
Dude, it happens a lot.
Do you know what I mean? Would you agree with me?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to name names, obviously, but like, I've heard just so many like dudes that are just incredible guitar players, but the song they compose, there's no hook. It's like just a emptiness to me. It's a weird thing.
There's more practice to be done than just the practice because you're practicing. You can practice also the creative side.
And I feel like that's what's helped me out. Like on like working on like, you know, but I mean, even before it was Cubase, it's called Nuendo, Steinberg Nuendo.
Okay.
I started on doing like on the DAW, like really like early when I was like 19, you know? So that, even like trying to like figure out structuring songs, like bringing riffs back and stuff like that. That's what I was interested in doing, like making a whole song, you know? That's kind of what helped me
composing.
Over the years. Yeah, composing the music, right.
You know, you knew your style, you know?
Yeah, and, definitely. And it makes me feel good when I hear it, you know? It's like, that's like, I'm like super passionate about like how that makes me, my own music makes me feel. That's how I like, that's why I like writing the music, you know?
It's one of the most important parts, you know, how you feel. If you feel good, then it's naturally part of it translates to Adam.
I'm not thinking about, do you think people will like this? I don't give a fuck. If people like it, it's what I like, you know. That's how I've always been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like this opposite way of thinking. Like to connect with your fans and people, you have to not give a fuck about them.
Yeah, you gotta be true. You gotta be true to yourself first. That'll come after.
You know,
you got do your own thing, and then that'll come after. Totally. People like it. That's great. If they don't, so be it.
It's like it comes from here first.
Yeah.
It's like you don't go here to here. You go here to there.
Exactly.
Right? You know.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain that kind of like the process.
People, yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
But it's cool. And dude, there's so many ways of guitar and vocal. There's so many different, like you could be a songwriter. You could be a shredder. You could be a rhythm player. There's so many. I don't think any of them are better or worse. People try to say this is better than this, but that's fucking stupid.
Mm.
You know, and a lot of egos there too. Like, you know, people will probably look at us and be like, oh, they're just doing some chugs. Like, if it's that easy, then you do it.
Yeah, you do it. No.
it's like that unexplainable, you know, thing.
There's a lot to the craft, obviously, with anything. Like, it's kind of off subject a little bit, but I just watched a documentary on Hans Zimmer. The composer, did like Lion King. He's done movie scores and shit.
Famous composer.
That dude is fucking incredible. Like he like goes off of like just the sounds he hears in his like head, and like just he came up with like doing instead of hiring a whole bunch of musicians to go in like in a spot to like do like the score. He ended up doing it on a computer in the 80s and shit.
Oh shit.
He composed it on the computer. He was the first composer like
in the 80s?
Yeah.
Was there computers in the 80s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah, they didn't sound good, like, but like he did Rain Man. That was his first like Emmy or Grammy or whatever for like wow. He won like Oscar for that. Yeah. You mean Reno Rain Man, right?
No.
With
the movie?
Yeah, the movie, yeah. And then he did
Rain Man?
Yeah.
I'll check it out. Rain Man. I got Delta and Rain
Man. It's with Tom Cruise.
Is it Tom Cruise is in it?
Yeah.
Is he in it?
Yeah, it's Cruise. And Dustin Hoffman?
Rain Man?
Yeah.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Oh, two words. Oh,
that's that. Yeah, that Hans Zimmer, that was his first.
Those two words, okay.
And then he did Lion King. He's done everything.
That's. Rain Man is one of those movies I see
and you'll cover hear it
all
too.
The time, but I always skip it. It's kind of
it's a great movie. It's awesome.
always skip okay, so, it. Okay, so now I'll see it next time. I'll play.
Don't skip. Yeah,
okay,
it's not I'll a skipper.
Play. Okay, I'll play it.
I actually haven't seen it either.
He did Interstellar, dude. He's done everything. Bits. Hans Zimmer is like the GOAT.
He is.
Yeah.
And I like hearing him talk like this because I'm still in that mindset of when I like met him in the basement where it's like, all right, if this motherfucker is on that kind of shit, you know, he's expanding his creativity on that level.
I don't
like,
even listen
oh
to
boy.
Fucking metal.
Yeah, I know he's setting us up for. Mm. So it's like he's becoming more of a composer than just a metal guitarist. And it's like, okay, I can work with that too because that allows me to get ready for like, he's going to come at me with like soundscapes. You know, I know that's a thing because like it's on the new album. There's soundscapes. Yeah. And it's like now I get to decide, should there be vocals in these spots or not? You know, like I want to match that.
Yeah, I put you in a tough spot kind of.
We're not doing, you know, maybe I'm sure there's kind of parts of the new album like that where it's like one specific part where it's like there needs to be vocals there, but it's not foreground vocals. It's part of the ambiance. So like that's kind of where I think we're taking it for one part of his writing and stuff, which is cool. It's not just about being heavy now, it's more like how do we make
feel,
this like yeah
the feel of the song. Definitely
it's gonna be heavy, but we're trying to get you to feel something too at the same time, not just the subs.
Well, I think
you missed an 808 there. It should have been an 808 right there.
It happens. That's sometimes like the fucking records out. Like, man, I wish you fucking put a 808 there or there.
Yeah,
it's like that's the like even like the small shit like that. You know, like how did I miss that? What the fuck?
I know.
You're listen so, to you're this so song so many fucking times.
You're so fucking in it though.
I know.
You're just like. It's in front of your fucking computer all day,
dude. I hate
and then,
it.
And then you write.
It's a love hate relationship.
It is, but something that keeps you going back. You know,
remember like before, like when I was talking to you like earlier, like it's hard to get into it too. You know, you like like the writing. Like sometimes it's I won't write anything for months. You know, it's like. But you gotta, I know it's the bad thing. You gotta be persistent. You gotta be on your guitar like every day. I know, I get it. But like sometimes I'm just not feeling it and I just wanna step away for a while.
It's better.
Yeah.
You don't wanna burn yourself out because that burnout time could be longer than, that could be longer than anything else. If you just keep grinding and you're not feeling it, then you have that burnout could last a year. Now you're not having any.
Yeah. I mean, I'll still play, you know, like,
yeah.
Even to the songs or whatever, but like for writing, that like, I need to have that itch, or else it's like it's like that doesn't do anything for me. I don't know.
You gotta want it, dude.
Yeah,
you gotta,
really. Yeah.
You have to like. Sometimes I'll like see like the like guitar there. I'm like nah. It's like nah. Not, but sometimes you're like I gotta play it. I have to play it.
Yeah, you get that little spark. You're like oh, I feel something. Let's do it. Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes like your fucking day is going by so quickly. It's like I have. And you're late, like today's a perfect example. Like, okay, I'm a little bit later than I would like to go to Santa Ana, but I see the guitar in my room. Like, I gotta sit down for a minute.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it makes sometimes
you do that still?
Oh, of course.
Fucking A, that's awesome.
Sometimes like you just gotta.
So you're not. You'll do that. You're like, oh, I'll wait for practice.
Sometimes it kind of goes, but if you see it, I'll be like, fuck no. Or sometimes you gotta get something out.
Kind of hungover. I don't really want to play guitar right now.
Dude, sometimes playing hungover it works because
I don't disagree.
Because your brain's off. Because the brain's not working, so like you're forced not, to play.
You don't second guess yourself, really.
No. Yeah. Sometimes I'll wake up hungover, and I was like, I'll fuck start playing. And something sick would come out.
You're like, wait a second.
Your brain's not fucking working. It can't work. It's not days.
Yeah. The next day, you don't even know what you created. You kind of listen to it again. You're like,
yeah. Like,
okay,
oh,
you're like, ooh, fuck. I wasn't thinking there.
I still got it. Yeah, what the right? fuck, dude?
Yeah.
It's a miracle that both our bands are still here. Playing this style of music. You know, how that happened?
This genre exploded the last, like, 4 years, wouldn't you say? It's been more popular of a genre than ever, right?
I'm looking straight at one of these cameras. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck happened. I'm still like just, you know, I'm just probably in the last 2 years getting out of my house more than like for like a couple days. So I don't know. I'm just here. And, you know, if the people are down with it, we've been trying to get it to this point for a minute. So I'm happy to see, you know, the deathcore, death metal, and metal in general, you know, get to this point where it is being more accepted. And at least there's people that'll come up like, I've never been to a metal show now. And they're just like, I'm liking it. It's cool to just experience that now, you know, like, hey, I've been listening to your band for X amount of years, or I just got into your band, you know. And all of that stuff is more frequent than I ever remember it. Any time before, like, let's call it, like, the lockdown period, because we kind of took a break. Mm-hmm. But it's still like a twilight zone to me, honestly, where it's like, oh, shit, like, deathcore's selling out venues. Like, yep. 2018, that wasn't the thing for us.
No,
it wasn't.
We shifted into some different dimension, but I'm cool. It's like,
yeah.
A lot of the stuff that you see with the turtles, like a lot of the stuff I feel like that we grew up being into, mm-hmm. whether it be non-music or music.
It comes full circle.
We were right, mother. That's what we were fucking right. It is fucking cool. It's about time these motherfuckers understand it. The shit that like the art true, and huh? the creative things, it is cool. Like it always has been. It's nice that some people are waking up to appreciate it and join the party with all the rest of us.
You just said it. I didn't realize until right now. Dude, we were right.
Yeah.
They're all fucking wrong. This shit fucking sucks. It's going nowhere. It'll be gone in 10 years. They're all wrong. We fucking all stuck.
Yes.
Without knowing it, as kind of like a team, all our bands are doing our own thing. And we were right. It stuck. And now it's bigger than ever.
Yep. It's nice.
Fuck you guys.
Because it's simple. It's simple. It's in your face. Everybody fucks. It's meaningful. It's simple. And it's in your fucking face. That's the aggressive mm-hmm. music that I love writing.
Mm-hmm.
With a little rainbows on top.
Yeah.
A little fucking...
a little fucking higher up.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll go up here every once every record. You're like, oh, boy.
One time once record. Yeah.
I'll try. Maybe once for two records, you know.
Fuck.
But even though it's going great now, it's unfortunate that our bands kind of tore too late. Like, it was us, Whitechapel, you guys,
yeah,
Carnifex. It was a great tour, but it was years too late.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there's like,
I would agree with that.
There was like a first, there's like an initial bubble pop.
Right.
And then like, that's the moment where like, we should all tour together. And right. it didn't fucking happen.
Because all you guys, like, you guys were headlining, like, your band was headlining Chapel, you know, all those bands were headlining, you know what I mean? So it's like, why would we, who wants to do the 4 of 5? Who wants to do the 3 of 5?
Yeah. You guys that's probably shit why, on us and you know, I'm
that's listen, that's why it probably never happened because... Mm-hmm. All you guys were on top of your game. You know, mm-hmm. everyone was fucking so like at a point.
Yeah,
it's like I said, who wants to be the 2 of 5 or 3 of 5? Well, I'm not playing to them. I'm not gonna play. I'm like fucking. Yeah. We're killing it right now. You know what I mean? Would you agree?
Yeah,
that's probably why that tour never happened.
Yeah, but every band at every level didn't want to play at that level.
Exactly,
it sucked, dude. But I mean, it happened. It was cool. It's better than nothing. But man, we would have did it at the right time.
Right,
and we would all just shut the fuck up. And just
egos aside, a little bit. You know?
It's
there's still time.
There is still. Well, now there's time. Now it's different.
I'll do this shit until the day I die. I don't give a shit.
We could still do that. That OG. Run it again.
Let's line up a tour, Garza.
I'm always.
It's a good idea.
I just got to convince him, and after that, we're good. I'm always down.
Got to fucking convince Scotty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scotty, too hotty, dude. I remember, dude. Yeah. I'm get fucking hammered. It's Scotty, too hotty, dude.
I'm like, what do you think, guards? You want to do a fucking shot? He's like, Scott, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, bro. Like, let me get some coffee. True. I'm like, all right. I'll be back in a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
You turn around. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with this dude?
You were very out there. It's cool. You're always out there hanging out with the bands out there in the morning.
Try to mingle a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Get a feel for the venue and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure everything's cool. I don't know. I'm trying to make sure
with the everyone's having fun. Though.
Yeah,
with
everyone's having. I want to make sure.
I remember that.
We're all in it together when we're on tour. As you know, true. When we're touring bands and stuff, it's like you got to look out for each other. That's what I feel like. It's just that's how I always been when I go like I go on tour and shit. Just get to the venue, all the bands are there. Kind of okay, he's doing this, he's doing that. Everyone's kind of getting out of their vans and shit, out of their tour buses, kind of cool. Mingling a little bit.
Yeah,
setting the stage up, seeing where I can go. You know, like making sure everyone's cool. You know, everything's cool.
Seeing where I could drink a beer.
seeing where the nearest shithole bar is, yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like, I feel bad for women at shows because they don't realize when the bands show up, we go straight to the women's bathroom first. they only knew, but it's like, oh, my goodness, I feel bad.
Yeah. Dude, I'm about to fucking destroy this thing.
Oh, yes. I mean, in the morning. Because
you can't shit on the buses.
You can't, no.
No, unless you got a Taylor Swift bus or something. Or, that's, you know, Dave Matthews bus or some shit.
Well, the way Deathcore is going, it might be on the horizon.
Yeah, right.
We get shitter buses. Yeah, dude,
we atta boy.
two toilets, one for the shitters.
I've made it, Dad. I did it.
I'm a shit in Scotty's bunk.
What is that?
I'm kidding.
I know that's a Garza shit. I know that's a Garza shit. It's got to be Garza shit.
Now I see where those brother riffs come from, dude. It's that heavy shit, dude. Come on, man. Oh, this is too much, dude. But, dude, we got to do a tour, man.
You don't have to tell me, but do you guys got anything lined up, like material-wise or anything, or... You guys got to be doing brewing some ideas soon or something like that. No record coming out this year?
No, dude. I think, it's 420 today. Pretty sick.
Hell yeah.
That was the other part.
Yeah, Adam, do you smoke?
Do you smoke?
A little bit.
I don't smoke.
I do.
You guys can do your thing.
I've chilled out and I figured I was going to see if you'd catch it. Today, because for all y'all watching, if you're an aspiring vocalist, and I always say this, don't be like me, do as I say. And what I say is,
here we go.
If you're trying to be a professional, you probably shouldn't be smoking, but I do be smoking sometimes.
Okay. what the hell? Contradict yourself.
No, but it's 420. We're in California. We're on the Garza podcast. What the fuck are you going to do? And we're playing Anaheim.
The last thing I need is you coming on stage like this. Like, you're just like.
Let's go.
Usually
the vibe.
Not me.
Oh gosh,
I'm not. I can't do it.
Usually it's edibles, but it's something about smoking. Like because when we were like not touring for a long time, so mm-hmm. I definitely got into a groove with smoking. But it's just a community vibe, you know. Whether it's you're in a cigar lounge or a hookah lounge or you're at a bar, to me like it's like that communal pass around that I like.
Yeah. The last time I did anything like that, took a rip with Grin.
Mm-hmm. We were blowing smoke in your bunk.
I took a fucking dab. It was the first time I ever took a dab before I played from Bart Tom.
The first time you took a dab?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking stupid.
And I'm like about to go on stage. I'm like. I forgot to play how to guitar. I forgot to play guitar. I forgot how to play guitar.
It's two notes, man. Come on.
Dude, I was like freaking out. I'm like, what am I doing right now?
Oh.
Dude, I was fucking freaking out.
Wow. Dude,
Never again.
No, dude.
That shit fucks me up too much.
Whose idea was that?
Tom. I'm going to blame it on Tom Barber on that one.
No, I think it's because you've probably been drinking all day. You're like, oh, wait, you know what? This is a good idea.
Good idea.
Yeah.
A terrible idea, I'll tell you that.
Your first dab.
he's like, just take a little bit. I'm like, all right, fuck it. I'm about to go on stage. I took a rip, and I was like walking to like the green room, and like, this is me. Like, it's like, that's how I felt like I was.
Oh, flying. You're flying. I'm like,
oh, this is not good.
Scotty's behind, he's flying, dude.
Oh, fuck. This is not good.
Scotty got wings, yeah, dude. Come on.
I put on the guitar and I go, I forgot how to play. I forgot how to play guitar.
How'd that set go?
I got through it.
Apparently, I didn't notice it.
Wow.
I was just in my own head, though. I mean, I was fine, but
usually you're in your own head.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I was fine. I was just fucked. I was fucked up, man. I'd
okay,
never the rule, done a dab before. I was ripped.
The rule is, if you try anything new when you're out on the road, you wait till after the show. You don't do it right before.
Yeah, don't take anything from
that's the
don't
rule.
Don't take any. No more dabs.
Because then you just pass out. That's what
true.
I do. You know.
True.
Yes.
Just take a little bit.
I probably took 3 dabs in my life, and that shit sucked.
And that wasn't before a show, right?
Fuck no.
Yeah,
I'm a professional.
I am not.
I'm an OG professional, dude. I fucking did after the show.
Okay.
I actually like dabs. They feel a little. They feel
like cleaner, right?
They're cleaner. Yeah. If you're going like. I like to play it safe, you know, especially in the past when it came to like smoking or anybody in our crew that be smoking and shit, like, mm-hmm. I would always be like, we can do that if you want to do, you know, whatever you want to do, go ahead, but like, let's be as discreet as possible. So I use like, if you want to bring a bowl, bring it, make sure you just clean it out, you know, like those sure. kind of things. So I'd always be like a bowl thing.
Throw it away before you go to the fucking
just throw your shit away before border. You go to Canada shit, you know. But I would always rip a bowl with people, if anything, you know, very rarely.
Yeah, that fucking contraption,
that's way the dabs are way
that
nicer
is, that's fucked right there.
They'll grab
dude,
your
those bond. Are those back.
What the fuck? It's like just you gotta go out of your way to get completely torqued.
That's not clean.
That
is not cleaner. That's definitely dirty.
That's some dirty shit right there.
The glass ones, like the glass, like dab rippers, like those ones. Those are the legit ones. I like that shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
You got like a fucking torque thing. It's like what is it called?
I got a lot of friends that get down, and I'm just around, you know. Since sometimes so I got, join,
sometimes you gotta heat, it up. Okay, you gotta okay. heat yeah. that okay. shit up like that hot. It's like, this doesn't look like I'm not interested in this, but they really persisted.
They're like serious.
They were very serious about their dabs.
Serious about it, and I can.
It's like, do you see like the
that.
Do you see like the honeycomb?
Yeah,
like
the honeycomb.
It's like clear. It's like yellow but clear. I'm like, dude,
the
I was like,
honeycomb.
You know, it's like they're like explaining to me the dabs. I don't know anything about it. And they're like, yeah, when it's like cloudy, it's not like percolated correctly. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but
they're passionate.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. Whatever they
like
it,
honey, like that.
Yeah, like that.
What is that? Is that it? A dab?
Yeah, it's like
it does look like a honeycomb.
Yeah,
the concentrate shit. Yeah, that's dangerous.
Honeycomb.
I have a feeling there's gonna be some of that around tonight.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, what the? Yeah, what? Oh, that's just resin.
That's resin.
That's garbage right there.
It's called black tar.
black tar opium. Yeah.
That apparently wrote the cleansing. Mark and Alex are smoking black fucking
on the ends.
Black tar resin. Opium,
yeah.
Or just res or opium or res.
Not heroin, but
no.
Resin.
Oh, yeah, res. Damn.
Out of like the black tar. They have choice or just like
the
we're low.
Opium down over there at the.
Oh yeah, we're still broke, dude.
Yeah,
we're,
I know.
We money,
yeah.
So they were scraping that.
I've done
shit.
It before.
These motherfuckers in my band, same thing. Like there was moments where like the dudes that were smoking, they'd be in the back. I wasn't even smoking at the time. They're just remember that they're just scraping all the shit out their bowl. I'm just like, just buy it more. It's like, we can't. We got like, you know. It's like, well,
yeah. We got our,
maybe
wait,
it's
wait,
time to chill.
Waiting on our $5 per diem.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I got a Taco
Bell.
You
guys haven't eaten today.
Yeah.
So apparently that the resin gives you a headache.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they wrote the cleansing nut all headaches.
Yeah, headaches. Headaches and coffee black tar fucking resin,
my God.
Dude. That fucking wrote some heavy shit, dude. And I was always sober. I don't like in being in a room because someone kind of directing it, you know?
Right.
When you're writing though, you don't like being clouded at all, or you like being like
Depends.
Completely sober when you're like with the guys trying to write, or
yeah, there's a time and a place. Like high would be like alone at night if I'm trying just to fuck around and experiment.
I see.
But if I'm like in the room, like okay, we're all gonna write as a unit.
Yeah, I can understand that. To,
right.
Yeah, because I don't know what Ernie's doing. He's a psychopath drummer.
Ernie's so one, badass.
The fucking last podcast we did, he showed up drunk. I'm like, dude, this is.
Oh no! I'm sure it was a hell of a time.
Yeah, and then you know, I think Mark smokes still when we jam. Eddie's just Eddie.
Eddie.
You know, yeah. It's just, yeah. So I kind of someone kind of needs to be like really present.
Okay.
You know, so that's
someone has to be with it.
That's me.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's the probably ringleader. How it would be if we did that in all in one space writing process. Is I probably you would need.
I would drink. Honestly, I'd be the same way. I wouldn't.
You'd need your drink. You'd have to have your drink.
Let me finish.
All right.
Oh, here we go.
If that happened, if we ever tried doing that, I would be like setting the day up, you know? We'll get everything
setting
going.
Setting the day up.
We'll jam for like a couple hours, get the flow going. And then Uncle Skit has a couple drinks. Okay. And then we're going to go.
I can see
a couple
that.
Doubles.
I can see that.
A couple Caucasians, Jackie, you know?
Like get the vibe going. Maybe there's a couple tracks that have already been worked on, and then okay. It's like, all right,
yeah,
I can see that. Yeah, I probably would do the same thing, like take an edible or something.
Yeah, we get somewhere, like yeah, you know, like maybe 30 seconds of some material we've been like just kind of fucking around with that day, you know, getting somewhere, and then take lunch, come back, take a little sip.
A little sippy poo.
Sip.
Okay, I'm gonna take
that
from you.
A little drinky poo.
Oh my goodness, dude. Yeah, what was your rig for the latest song? It sounds sick.
Thanks.
Like the
rig, the amp.
The amp?
Yeah.
Dude, I've been using that same tone since like I got my Kemper. It's a it's the same exact tone from the from Ascendance I got from Putney. It's a PRS Archon mixed with a 6505 head, blended with a couple, you know, EQ like chains and shit in there. And then there's like four other cabs. But then I like tweaked it a little bit, but I still use that same tone to this day. Yeah, live and everything. Yeah, and I just loved it so much. I was like, I love the swell and everything on there, and
that's
like,
tight.
Yeah,
it's becoming like it's like your sound now because you've been using it.
Yeah. Everyone tries to take. Everyone wants my patch for some reason. Hey, can I get your patch? No. Get your own patch.
Dude, give him a fake patch. Just like
shitty, fucking, just like a shitty like spider head patch or something. Like,
oh my god, they're like, oh, it's down like Oceano. Yeah. it's like when a girl gives you like a fake number.
Yeah.
You give him a fake patch.
I got Scott's patch. Yeah.
A lion six spider. Okay,
I went that low. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Chuck.
You know what? Let's do the blue voodoo. How about that? Let's do blue voodoo.
Okay.
A blue poo poo. Yeah,
cool, dude. Yeah, if you found, your
I feel
sound,
like that.
I
love it, dude. You mean you've been working with your same head like forever too? You know,
dude,
like
I came back to it.
Ooh, wait, you switched and you came back?
I came back.
Well,
yeah.
Well,
I got a PV5152 that we used for the first record. I Whoa. Came right back. I found on Craigslist.
Did you?
I missed the tones. I got. I bought full circle. I'm buying all the shit I sold.
In
2007. I'm trying to find it all again.
Really?
Really?
I made so many mistakes in my fucking career. It is silly.
I think we all have though.
Yeah.
Nothing's ever perfect. You know that.
And now I have a podcast trying to relearn things.
Mm-hmm. And you had the Mesa for a while, right?
Yeah.
Like the dual rack.
That's probably the only thing I.
That you dude, that shit sounded awesome.
Yeah. A two channel triple Mesa.
Yeah, yeah. That,
from
that
like
was,
the 90s. It's
was it? Did you have it rebiased or anything, or like retubed with any other tubes or
sixes? Like,
okay. No, yeah. Like no like rubies or like JJs or anything like that.
Nah. Just a fucking pedal in the front and.
Before my Kemper, I had I was running the 6505 Plus with Subtex.
Okay.
Yeah, I like had the dude. There's a guy over by where I live that like does like a lot of cool electronics shit, and like he does rebiasing and stuff. And he like he hotwired it a little bit like hotter than so like I kind of regret it, but like every after every tune, I would have to retube it because they were shot. because I had him hot wire it a little bit hotter. So, but it sounded sick. I kind of miss that head, honestly.
There's nothing better than
a tube head, bro.
And it never goes away. You just have like the sound in like your head. You're like, okay, I'll fucking buy that amp again.
Yeah.
And then it feels so good. Even just to have it. Even if I never use it again, I just want it there.
For me, in my opinion, the 5150, in my opinion, was good, but it had this like sizzle, like high end sizzle, that I heard. The 6505 I felt like was more rounded.
Okay.
That's just what I heard, but like
I should probably try it out.
And then like the cab, you can't go wrong with the straight, not Marshall. What was it?
Mesa.
The flat Mesa.
I'm trying to get them, dude. I'm trying to get them,
dude. Those are such a great universal cab.
They are the best.
Yeah, it's just straight 4x12. That's it.
So hot. I'm just. I had two of them.
What are you doing?
I already had them. I had everything.
I
gave it away like a fucking idiot.
I'm sure you can call someone right now after this podcast and be like, all right, I need 2 4-12s. And then you send them to you.
That's what I've been saying. Almost a lot of podcasts. Okay, someone help
That's
me.
That's the
I
one.
Need,
there you
I
go.
I need a straight Mesa.
They still make these, yeah? Or?
Oh, yeah.
I miss seeing them.
I think Gibson
do owns a little custom
Mesa
front
now.
Covers for you guys on stage.
Oh, dude.
Fucking A.
They definitely, like, between when we used them in the past and the other bands that have
so heavy.
Them, it's got a wolf. It's
dude,
got a
it's
nice
woofy, dude.
It's got a nice mid-tone.
I need that woofy. I need that chuggy. I need that wetness,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, the wall, like a Garza
right
wall
now.
Right there.
I'm horned up, dude.
I had it. See?
God damn it. Okay, so Oceano has been OGs.
Yeah.
You guys, even you, Scotty, you are
an OG. I would consider myself, I guess I would be an OG now.
Cause he's got to take it. You got to hammer it into him now.
Accept it.
This is going to be three albums with Oceano.
We're the longest
this year,
running members of the band, so.
We are.
That's great,
it's
man.
It's the sickest version of the band, in my opinion.
I want to ask you both the same question. So since you guys have seen, like, you have seen the deathcore scene come out of nothing. You know, you guys were...
It's like a
we're
it's
there.
Like this.
Yeah, you've seen the ups, downs, yeah. the waves, bands come and go. Like, what has been a regret in your career?
Not writing more. Honestly, not like over, like for me, honestly, overthinking shit, like I said before, and not coming out with more material because the 7 year span, that's too long. I don't want to be Tool. I hate it, but. I'm too much of a perfectionist. I felt like what's hurt my career is honestly not coming out with more albums. I should be coming out with more, like maybe every 3 years, but that's my only regret, honestly.
Mm.
Yeah, being in the band.
That's tough, I think.
Yeah, it's tough, but that's the truth.
I think that probably... There was a time where I wanted to party more, and I still got the business side done, but I think I focused too much on all the distractions, and I didn't sift willingly into the role of like, you just got to lead the band, bro. You know, like you're bringing in guys that have never experienced this, you know.
Yeah, you kind of let me go crazy.
Yeah, like reeling the guys a little bit, but also like just sit in the role of like, you know, for me, it's just like, Adam, you don't get to party like these. Let these guys party and enjoy it, reel them in, but you got to be the lead. I didn't take the lead as a leader for the band because I wanted to like enjoy it the same way and party and stuff too. But we had a lot of changes in the band and like, you know, for that, I was the oldest member of the band. I had to take the reins. So it was I think there was like 3, 4, 5 years of just like trying to like manage a band as a lead band dad, but also trying to keep up with the partying side too, where it's just pick one and you can party later. You can party on the weekend. You're like just regulate it a little better.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing. And I think that would have helped us had, I think, a quicker trajectory to what I believe we're about to get to in the next, like this year and next year and stuff. So we're still here, but I think there were some things that, you know, I would maybe have liked to see us get to a certain point a little bit sooner so that later would make things easier. But
yeah,
that I'll, I'll rebuttal what I said too a little bit, but I feel like when you go through member changes and shit, I feel like that hurts the band, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's when you, it's some bands are very fortunate, like they have a good glue, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I mean, it's hard to keep members. You know, it's hard to keep everyone happy. Some people have their own path in life and shit. But like, I feel like that's the hardest part of being in a band. I mean, on the side of, you know, riding with the people that you're in the band with is their personal lives and shit, and like what they're dealing with outside the, you know, outside the band, and like they got other shit going on. It's hard to keep four or five members together.
Yeah,
you know, it's there's a lot of personality going in there. You know, you would agree, right?
Of course. It's tough, man.
That is the hardest. That's like one of the hardest parts. Like, I think the music is probably the most easiest part.
The collaboration part is easy and it's cool, but even
keeping
with
everyone,
ups,
yeah, keep man trying to find people to fucking, you know, play the music with you and be stoked with you.
Especially
you know?
In like, Chicago, bro. Just, that's the thing. Like, we're working with, it's nothing against, there's great musicians in Chicago, but lots of us were like, you know, like, I don't think any of us, did you ever expect to be like, right now, in this point?
I didn't know. Probably not.
I just think, like, for Chicago and where we're from, it's like,
you know, everyone.
There, you have the guy, you have people that, you know, everyone wants to do it in a bigger way, but I don't think a lot of people actually see themselves there. Mm. And so that's the hard part. It's like, that, and especially when you add to it, like, even when we were trying to, like, you know, get things figured out with, like, you know, what we're doing in more recent, you know, we've had to have some fill-ins in the past and stuff, and I'm like, I gotta show them this guy's writing and shit, and like, they're just their legs are shaking, you
it's
know
the,
it's like
it's the mass produced song, like I was telling you, they don't want to, like, they don't want to play that.
You got to be able to rise to that occasion too, and not,
I mean,
everyone's
ready
for,
I mean,
that.
It's not like a Beneath the Massacre shit, but like, ain't no Anthony Barone, but like, it's still pretty crazy shit.
Not everyone's ready for the big leagues, and that's okay, but I feel like you gotta be able, if you really want to take this shit seriously, and you like, you talk that talk, like, yeah, like, I want to like make this shit
we
big.
Went through this recently, like the guy, I was like, he was kind of like keeping us on the reel. I was like, well, it's like, you know, I'll do it, but like, you know, I gotta sort some things out. I'm like, dude, you got the song. You just send us a couple videos or something, you know, like, of learning the song. But he was, like, kind of procrastinating. Like, I'm like, dude, I need you to send me something of you playing it, you know. Like,
yeah.
Let's go. He's like, well, you know, I got this thing going on with work and stuff. I'm like,
oh,
I'm over it. I need to go.
That's the sign.
I don't fucking waste my time, you know.
That's the sign. Their legs
he was like, even like, yo, just let him go. We'll go somewhere else. So I really wanted the guy, you know. He was a good drummer. I don't know.
Some people will get it in their own way, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's understandable, but you got to overcome
some people
that
are
some
really
point.
Comfortable. Maybe some dudes are just, they know they're too comfortable with what they're doing. It's fine.
There's going to be sacrifice if you want to, like, 100%. Raise yourself up.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be comfortable.
And some people think they want something, but then once sometimes the opportunity, a lot of us are presented opportunities, and we don't even know that they are
right.
You know, some say they talk the talk that they want something, but when it actually comes up, most 99% of people will back out.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's fucking nuts, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm busy or this and that. I mean, this so they'll once I hear one excuse, it's okay.
Yeah,
move on.
I've even been there. I've had to kind of reverse myself. It's a little small. Like, if someone's like, yo, come over to the studio or something, let's just vibe. I've had that happen too. And it's like, and I'm like, oh, I gotta. It was like, I really don't have
I don't
shit
have
to
shit.
Do. I have shit to do. What am I? Just
I
go.
Gotta. Oh, I gotta jack off tonight. I don't know. It's fucking important, man. I got an important date.
I got a 9 o'clock jack off session here.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. What? I mean, yeah, you guys
imagine,
lived it.
Imagine putting that in Siri. Hey, Siri. Set a timer at 9:30 tonight for jacking off. Thank you.
Honestly, dude, I'm at that point
set a point for 9:30 for jacking off.
Dude, counting every minute, dude, to balance everything. I might need to schedule that.
Yeah, I get you.
Dude, I got into this thing last week called time boxing. Ever heard of that?
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you like it's called a brain dump, which is basically like a to-do list. So you brain dump everything you do for the day.
Yes.
And then you pick your top three, and that's your priority. And then you put the times on the right side. And then you kind of put in each box, like, you know, let's say you wake up at, you know, 7 a.m. okay, wake up, and then, okay, I'm going to do number one on 11 a.m. So you write that and how long it takes. Oh, probably done it. I'll be playing guitar for 3 hours. Okay, that'll be done at 2 p.m. And so you box it. So you do your brain dump. Then you write the priorities on the top left, and on the all the right side, you actually schedule your day. And that's been really helping me.
Damn. Yeah.
You're really, really helping me.
Look into that.
So about 7:30 p.m., I might have to write, you know.
Well, there, 7 p.m. comes time. Around. The yeah. dump comes, the actual dump.
The band better not call
yeah.
me.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's very similar. So I heard about this time boxing thing. You ever like learn about things and you realize you're kind of doing
guys
it, right?
Sure. Can I take a pee break? Is that fine?
We're about to wrap
up. Are we going
to
wrap up?
Yeah, I know you guys need to go back and sound check. And we got a meeting too.
Okay.
Any closing thoughts while we hold our pee?
Sorry, dude. I'm like the smallest fucking.
I'm doing the same thing. It's fine. Don't worry
yeah.
about it, man.
Yeah.
Well, what I will say is I really appreciate you guys like reaching out to us and allowing us to do this. This has been great. Oh, I wish we had some more time, and I would spend forever talking to you. You know that.
I know
we haven't seen each other a long time, but we'll always pick up where we left off. Chat, you know, so.
Yeah, I'll see you guys tonight, and yeah. that's when I'll start drinking.
All right.
This is like, you know, this is semi professional right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Okay,
I can't get too far.
But later on, it's on.
Awesome, man.
It's
well,
on.
It's been a pleasure, and thank you for having us. You know,
Adam, Scotty, I mean, thank you for being here. I have mad respect for your band and how far you took your band.
It's been quite the journey with me and this guy here. So
appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
All right, everyone.
You too.
All right, everyone. That's it. Later.
Later.
Peace.